Last week, we started a brand new series that we're calling Inside Scoop. You know, everyone loves to get the inside scoop. Sometimes it's kind of trouble at work and we hear there's going to be layoffs and we'll corner someone that's in the know and say, come on, give me the inside scoop on this. What's going to happen? Am I okay here? Do I need to start floating resumes? Other times it's in sports and there's trades going on. You say, come on, give me the inside scoop. What's that story really about? Or what's that relationship really about? We love the inside scoop. We all have this hunger and thirst to kind of be in the know, in the inside circle. Well, do you know that Jesus invites us to gain the inside scoop about the most important thing, the most important consideration of all time, and that's the inside scoop on the kingdom of God, the inside scoop on eternity. We saw last week that Jesus, early on in his ministry, had reached practically superstar status. Matthew 4 says that news about him spread all over Syria and all over what we now know to be Israel in the Middle East. It says large crowds began to follow him everywhere he went. When we talk about large, we're not talking about 40, 50. We're talking about thousands of people. And I thought about it this week and said, you know what? Jesus was the first megachurch pastor. You ever think about that? Long before the big churches that we celebrate today and all these big name preachers, Jesus had thousands following him. Back when there were no microphones and no stages and no lights and no praise teams and all that, it was just Jesus. But thousands of people were following him. They were bringing to him those who needed healed. They were amazed, Scripture said last week, at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not the boring way that they went to synagogue and their priests went through rituals and just rules and regulations and ceremonies. And they were bored with that. Jesus was fresh. He was exciting. Yet in the middle of all that superstar fame, Jesus abruptly changed course in how he was speaking to the people of his day. He began, all of a sudden, out of the blue, he began to speak to them, not as he had before, very clearly and boldly, very deliberately and directly. He began to speak to them in parables. Parables are kind of stories about everyday life experiences that have a spiritual, that have an eternal application to them. Now, immediately, Jesus' disciples recognized this transition. And in Matthew 13:10, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are you speaking to the people in parables? And Jesus responds in verse 13 of Matthew 13. This is why I speak to them in parables, Jesus says. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. See, here's what Jesus realized. Jesus realizes this vast multitude of these thousands and thousands of people who were following him all over Israel, they were just thrill seekers. They had selfish ambitions. They wanted to get healed, or they wanted people they loved to be healed by Jesus. They wanted to hear this new prophet who was on the scene, who was speaking with such authority and not speaking like the boring sermons that the chief priests and the priests were giving in the synagogues. They were flocking to Jesus, but they were flocking to Jesus just to see what the hype was all about. Their relationship, their interest in him and what he was teaching was very, very, very surface. And so evaluating that, Jesus says something shocking to his disciples. Matthew 13:11, he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. It's been given to you, but not this. Mind you, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, the secrets of eternity have been given to you, but I'm withholding it from them. Now, why would Jesus withhold the secrets of the kingdom of heaven from his own countrymen, his very own people? Well, the vast majority of the people following him weren't really interested in the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. They were stimulated by what they saw Jesus do. They were intrigued by what Jesus was saying. But again, they had no desire to really understand what he was talking about. They had no desire to apply to their everyday lives what Jesus was proclaiming as coming from God the Father. So he says to them, the disciples, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are given to you, but not to those kind of people. Not to those people who are just following me because of the hype, because they want a thrill in their life. Now, why was it given to the disciples and not the people? Well, it kind of goes with what Jesus said in Luke 11:9. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you." In other words, what Jesus was saying is this: those who really wanted the inside scoop, those who really had a sincere interest in knowing about what was to come, could find it. They were those who would seek. And Jesus said, seek and you'll find it. Ask and you'll receive it. Knock and the door will be open to you. So Jesus knows those who were sincere about him, about what he was teaching about the kingdom, the secrets of heaven, would not just be satisfied to come and see a healing ceremony and come and have Jesus speak about something, just walk away. They would press on. They would want to know what he was saying, what he was talking about. So today's inside scoop comes to us from the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Now get ready, because Jesus is going to teach those who want to hear, those who want to understand, those who really want the inside scoop on this. Jesus is going to share it with us right now. And the same is true today as was true then. Today, if you take your nap now because you turned your clocks ahead, well, you're going to miss the inside scoop. If you pull out your cell phone and do your text messages and do your emails, you're going to miss the inside scoop. But those who want to know, here we go. You ready? So in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24, Jesus shares another parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven. Remember what we're talking about now. We're talking about eternal things. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Now, I got to stop there because I've got to bring Miami, Fort Lauderdale suburbanites up to snuff on this agricultural lesson that he's giving to the people, because they immediately understood what he was talking about, and we won't understand it. What he's talking about probably is the bearded darnel, zizanium in the Greek word that's used in this passage. And this is a weed. This is a toxic grass that grows in Palestine that looks just like wheat. You can't really distinguish them from each other until harvest time, when you can see the fruit that's on those grasses, on those stems. The wheat has wheat there. The darnel, the bearded darnel, has black, all these little black seeds. And were you to confuse it and you were to mix the darnel with the wheat and actually eat it, you'd become violently ill. It would have a narcotic effect on you. You might have dizziness and diarrhea. And so it was a poisonous, toxic plant that grew in Palestine. And while it was growing, you could not differentiate it from wheat until harvest time. And that's what the people would pick up right away. So it goes on to say, Jesus says, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did all the weeds come from? The servants in this parable say, did you plant bad stuff? They said, well, how come we've got these darnels here? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? And he says, no, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now, Jesus now is given the inside scoop with this parable. He's revealing yet another secret about eternity, another secret about the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 3:36, it says, then he left the crowd and went into the house. Now, actually, Jesus teaches two more parables in between the time that he speaks this parable and he goes back into the house. We're going to look at those parables next week. But after he teaches these first four parables, he goes back into the house where he's staying. And it says that the disciples followed him into the house and they said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. This is the only time Jesus' disciples asked Jesus to explain a parable. You said, well, wait a minute. We looked last week and Jesus explained a parable. Yes, but the disciples didn't ask him to. Jesus just gave them the story, gave them the application. This is the only one they come and ask him about. So something in this particular parable piqued their interest. Something captured their attention because this was different than anything they had ever heard. So Jesus gives them the parable, and here's what he says. Matthew 13, beginning verse 37. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seeds stand for the son of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom, people who are really following God. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. So Jesus decodes the whole parable to them. He tells them what each thing stands for. He goes on to say, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin in all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, today's inside scoop is really, really important. And I'm going to warn you that it's a little bit challenging. It's a little bit troubling. And oftentimes in churches today, we want to avoid that which is challenging and that which is troubling. But if you're a guest here at the Bridge, I want you to understand this, that we are a very loving church. We're a very positive church. We love the grace of God and we speak of it every week. But yet we do not ignore things in Scripture that kind of challenge us, that bring us to the edge, that cause us to face things that sometimes we don't want to face. And so Jesus now, in sharing this parable, gives the inside scoop about a very important part of eternity. First, in the parable, he says, a day of judgment is coming. A day of judgment is coming. He says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. He says, they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is a very non or politically incorrect message to share today. And increasingly, we're not sharing this message. We don't want to talk about judgment. We don't want to talk about hell. We don't want to talk about fire and brimstone and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to talk about that. And many, many churches are not talking about it. They're kind of Marcionian in nature. Marcion was a heretic that lived in the second century. And what Marcion did is he took scissors and he cut out all the parts of the Bible that he didn't like or he didn't agree with. And we want to do that today. We want to just talk about God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. We don't want to talk about stuff like this. And sometimes people will say this, that do you know that the word hell is only mentioned in the Bible by Jesus. And Peter mentions it one time, and James mentions it one time in the New Testament. And so people say, well, you know, only Jesus talked about hell. But my comment is, are you listening to what you just said? Only Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who will ultimately judge. And so when people say, well, only Jesus talked about it. Well, wait a minute. If Jesus talked about it, then we better listen to what he is saying. So he says, there is a judgment coming. In fact, 8 of Jesus' Matthean parables, those that are in the book of Matthew, talk about judgment, that there will be a judgment. This particular parable is only included in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, why might that be? Why didn't Luke include it? Why didn't Mark include it? Why didn't John include it? Well, remember that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are biographies of the life and teachings of Jesus during his day. But they're addressed to different audiences. Did you know that? Luke is addressed to the Greeks, to the secular world. Mark is addressed specifically to the Roman world. John is the universal gospel. It's written to all of humanity. Matthew is particularly written to the Jews. There's a lot of reasons why we know that, and I don't have time to elaborate on that today. But it's not by coincidence that this particular parable is only in the book of Matthew that is specifically addressed to the Jews. Why? For a couple reasons. One is that the Jewish religious system never established a theology about what happens after this life. They still don't have one. There's still a great disparity among the rabbis and the teachers of Judaism is what's going to happen when this life is over. Some think we just go into a state of eternal annihilation. We just cease to exist. Others think that, yes, there's something coming, but they're not quite sure what's going to happen after. And particularly at this time, the religious leaders of Israel and many of the Jewish people believe that if there was something after this life, that because they were the seed of Abraham, because they were God's chosen people, whatever it was automatically going to happen to them. And so Jesus now is saying to them, he's sharing with his disciples the inside scoop. He says, I want you to know something. There is a judgment coming. Not everyone is covered. And Jesus says, there is a final day, and on that day, all of humanity will be divided into one of two groups. Now, what's the inside scoop? The inside scoop is this. All roads do not lead to God. That's what Jesus is saying. See, that's the mantra of postmodernism. That's the mantra of our culture today. That, you know, just pick a religious system. Pick some world religion and just follow it as closely as you can to the dictates of whatever it teaches, and they're all going to end up in the same place anyhow. Jesus clearly says that's not true. Jesus said, number one, there is judgment coming. And number two, when it happens, all of humanity is going to be divided into one of two groups. There's nothing in between. There's no purgatory. There's no temporary holding place. There's nothing. It's just going to happen. And when it happens, it's sealed for all eternity. Revelation 20, verse 13, 15 talks about that. It says, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is what Jesus taught. And so, the eternally critical question this morning for every one of us is this: are you wheat or are you weeds? which one are you? Now, if you don't know, then the good news is you can know. You don't have to go through the rest of your life wondering what's going to happen to you when this life ends. You don't have to worry about being in that group that is going to be cast out in the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a moment. But a day of judgment is coming. Now mark that down for yourself, because today, culture defies that. Many religions defy that. Oh, there's no judgment coming. Everyone's going to make it. Everything's going to be okay. Not true according to the teachings of Jesus. Now, with that in mind, the second element of the inside scoop that we get is this. Don't get cozy with sin. Since there is judgment, Jesus says, don't get cozy with sin. He says in Matthew 13, verses 40 to 42, as he says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes to sin and all who do evil. Again, he's speaking specifically to Jewish people here, and even more specifically to the Jewish religious leaders. He says, here's the inside scoop, guys, that the angels are come, and they're going to weed out of the kingdom of heaven anything that causes to sin and all those who do evil. Now, look what Jesus says in Matthew 23, 13. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. He says, you hypocrites. Do you know that the only group of people that Jesus really ever scolded was the religious leaders? It wasn't the people. He understood that the people were being misled by the religious leaders. And so Jesus says, woe to you guys. He says, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Basically, he says, you religious leaders, he says, you know what? He says, because of what you're teaching and because of the way you're living, you are keeping people from getting into the kingdom of heaven. So woe to you. And I would hold that Jesus says the same thing to those of us who stand in front of churches today and proclaim God's word. He's saying, woe to you if you don't tell them the truth. He goes on to say in Matthew 18, 6, he says, but if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. He also says that if your right hand causes you to be offended, then cut off your right hand. If your right eye causes you to offend and sin, pluck out your eye. Now, he doesn't say that literally, but he's trying to emphasize how important it is not to get cozy with sin, no matter who tells you that it's okay, no matter who tells you that they can rationalize that. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's really hard to live in a world that's filled with sin without getting caught up in it, isn't it? It's really hard, isn't it? Even as believers, we are sometimes, and I would even go as far to say increasingly, led to think this way. Why not? At work, why not go to the club for happy hour on Friday with everyone? Why not do that? Man, that's where people get in with the boss. That's where people really get networking. Why not do that? Or, you know, everyone else is kind of cutting shady deals, and they're making all the money. They're getting all the bonuses. They're making all the commissions. So why should I not do that too? Why not engage in sex with whoever I want to? It's perfectly acceptable in culture. Why not get divorced? Because, I mean, it's not even a question anymore. You can just go down and file. Why not do this? Why not do that? Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? Even we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are tempted to say, why not? Well, let me tell you why not. One really good reason is judgment is coming. You say, yeah, but that's for those who don't believe in Jesus. Well, yeah, eternal destiny is for those who don't believe in Jesus. But there is a judgment for believers also. And Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, being in the latter part of verse 10, he says, but each one should be careful how he builds. Paul says this, each one, now he's talking to believers, he's not talking to the lost, he's not talking to agnostics, he's not talking to atheists, he's talking to people like you and me who have professed that we do believe in Jesus Christ and we have received him as our Savior. He's saying, you guys better be careful how you live your life. You better be careful on what values you build your life. You better be careful on who you listen to. You better be careful on where you go. You better be careful about rationalizing sin, about getting cozy with it. He says, his work, that person, all of our, mine, yours, everyone, work will be shown for what it is because the day, capitalized, I didn't capitalize, it's capitalized in Scripture, to emphasize a certain day, and that day is the day of judgment. He says, we'll bring it to light. It will be revealed with what? Fire, purity, the pureness of Jesus himself. And it says, and fire will reveal the quality of each man's work. In other words, we'll see who was really doing what? For the glory of God or for their own advancement and their own glory, their own self-advancement. We'll see whether things were done to help others or whether things were done to draw attention to ourselves and let others think, wow, what a wonderful person he or she is. See, all of it's going to be brought out in the open. There's going to be no secrets anymore. And he goes on to say, if what he has built survives, he'll receive his reward. See, we don't get judged as far as whether we're going to get into heaven or not as believers, but we will be judged at how we've lived our lives, of how cozy we've gotten with sin. It says, if it is burned up, if we've gotten too cozy with sin, it says we'll suffer loss. There will be loss to experience. Goes on to say, he himself will be saved, but only one is escaping through the flames. This verse plays on me more and more and more. More and more and more. And I ask myself, is that how I want to appear before Jesus? As one like barely got there. You know, like one who's passed through the flames of hell on the way there. Standing before Jesus kind of smoking and smoldering. Is that how I want to go to heaven? Is that how I want to meet Jesus? See, he says, don't get cozy with sin. Now, the inside scoop is this. There's a lot of people who will rationalize things that God says are sin. They'll say, oh, it's not really sin, or oh, that's not really what he taught, or that's not really what he meant. Well, you better be sure that they're not rationalizing something in their life and trying to bring you down their road. Because as the Proverbs says over and over again, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to what? Death. Three, the inside scoop is this. Don't play the judge. Don't play the judge. What do I mean? Well, back to the parable. When the servants discover that this beet at darnel is mixed in with the wheat, and they challenge the master of the field and say, didn't you sow good seed? He says, yeah, an enemy did this. And they said, oh, do you want us to go pull up the weeds then? You want us to go out and just start pulling those up? And he says this. He says, no, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may also root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, until the judgment. As believers, it is not our responsibility to legislate righteousness. What does that mean? That means it's not our job to force people to live under the commandments and guidelines of God. That's not our job. Sometimes we as believers fantasize here in the United States, or maybe they do in other countries too, to where all believers become the president of the United States and the congressmen and women and the senators and the judges and all that. And we then legislate the righteousness of God on this evil and wicked people. Not our job. That's not our job. That's not what we're called to do. Mark it down. When Jesus is ready to judge, Jesus will judge. And here's the inside scoop. He's not going to ask for our help. He's just going to do it. He will do it with compassion. He will do it with mercy. He will do it with absolute justice, absolute purity. But mark it down, he will do it. He is not a wimp. He's not just going to wink at everyone and say, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. As believers, our responsibility is this, to model righteousness. Not to legislate it, but to model it. To show people in our workplaces that there's another way to work. There's another ethic to work by. To show people in our families who maybe have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's our job to model the way we live. So that they see a different way to live and they see the fruit of living that way as God blesses us for living righteous lives. I love the way Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Speaking about he and other disciples and other apostles of Christ at the time, but it carries on to us. He says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we're the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. See, that's who we are. That's what our role in this life until Jesus comes again. We're to be the aroma of God. We're to be the presence of God. We're to be Jesus with flesh on it in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. Yes, driving our cars on the highways. Eating in the restaurants, going to certain places and not going to certain places, talking a certain way and not talking a certain way. We are to be models of righteousness. Now, in the end, to those who hate God, to those who don't want to allow God to have the controlling influence in their life, or maybe those who are atheists or agnostics and who are aggressively against the things of God, we're the smell of death. And wow, are we seeing that in our culture more and more, right? We're seeing those who want to live that way, they're ridiculed and they're shamed and they're called all manners of different negative names. And that's okay. That's all right. That means we're doing our job. That means we're fulfilling our purpose as models of righteousness. Now, to others who really do love God and who really do have an interest in eternity and the things to come, we're reminders of all of that too. And we're encouragers. We're affirmers. We do it together as we walk arm in arm, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder. But our job is to be a fragrance of Jesus everywhere we go. Today, weeds can still become wheat. That's why we don't judge and pull them out and give up on them and badmouth them and everything else, because they can still become wheat today. Unlike in the parable where they can't change, today's weeds can trust Jesus Christ and become wheat. Today, our calling is to share Christ. Those are the last words of Jesus in whatever gospel you turn to. And in the book of Acts, where Jesus says, just before he ascends up into heaven, you will be my witnesses. In Matthew, it's, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and I'll go with you wherever you are. In Mark, it's, go into all the world and preach the gospel. See, that's our responsibility. So don't play the judge. I know it's hard not to sometimes because some people are so obnoxious and some people are so hateful and some people really push our buttons, don't they? But when we do that, remember it's an opportunity not to judge them, not to get back at them, not to spread rumors about them, but to be the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Fourth, the inside scoop is don't let evil dismay you. Don't let evil dismay you. Sometimes we as believers, and we look at everything going on, and we go, you know, God, what's up with that? I mean, here I am, I go to work, and I work an honest day's job, and I don't cut corners, and I don't misrepresent our product with people, and I go out of my way, and yet I'm never getting promoted. I'm still at the same job I started with, and all these people who cut corners and all these people who cut these shady deals, they're getting all the promotions. What's up with that, God? And we look at it, and we say, you know, why is all this terrorism in the world, and why does evil, and they've been asking that question. Back in the Old Testament, you'll see it asked over and over again. How long, God, will you allow this to happen? Listen, don't get dismayed by that, because Jesus gives us the inside scoop about that in this parable. And he says this in Matthew 13, verse 29 to 30. He says, at that time, I will tell the harvesters, the angels, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. See, there is a judgment. He says, mark it down. I'm not missing a thing. No one's getting away with anything. Jesus even says, every careless word spoken will be brought out clearly in the judgment. He says, no one's getting away with anything. So when you go look at people at work who are doing it wrong and who are evil and who are unscrupulous and you wonder, don't worry about that. You just give that to God because he's going to take care of that. On the other hand, it says, then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. And then he says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Then the righteous, that's us. That's those of us who understand there's a day of judgment coming. We don't get cozy with sin. That's those of us who understand that we are to model righteousness. And when we do that, for every moment we do that, for every instant that we do that, it just adds up to our reward. And one day after the harvest is complete and the weeds have been separated and burned, the wheat is going to be taken into the barn. That's the eternal kingdom. And look what it says. We will shine like the sun. We will glow in our glorious bodies. We will enter that place where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. For all of the things that have caused those things will be outlawed, will be passed away. And we'll have eternal life forever. That's why scripture says over and over again, it says, count the suffering, this short temporary suffering that you're experiencing now, count that as rubbish. That doesn't matter for anything because it's only going to last 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. When you come home, when the harvest is complete, you'll shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Basically, what Jesus is teaching is deferred gratification. He's saying, listen, you live for God now. You follow my commands now. And one day, oh my, it's going to be inconceivable what your experience is going to be. Don't let evil dismay you. No one's getting away with anything. Finally, the inside scoop is this. Get right with Jesus now. Get right with Jesus now. Look how Jesus ends this parable. He who has ears, let him hear. In other words, Jesus is saying, are you one who just hears this and you really don't have a hunger to apply it to your life? You just, oh, that was interesting, or man, that was out there. That was strange. That was weird. He says, you've been given the inside scoop now. Basically, what Jesus is saying, what are you going to do about it? What will you do with the inside scoop? He who has ears, let him hear. Hebrews 4:7 says, therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Maybe you're here today and you're a believer. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe today, as you've considered this parable, as you've received the inside scoop on eternity, maybe a stark realization has nailed you right between the eyes. And that's this, is that maybe you've become a little too cozy with sin. Maybe you've begun to rationalize sinful behavior. Maybe you've been in a place where you're starting to conform the culture and saying, well, why not? Everyone else is doing it. Well, in that case, remember what 1 John 1:9 says. It says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sin and purify us from all, what? Unrighteousness. But if you're here today and you have a much more serious condition, and that condition is this, that as you've received the inside scoop today with Jesus' parable of the wheat and the weeds, you have come to the conclusion that you're the weed, not the wheat. Remember, I told you it's good news, and that's God has brought you here today to transform you from a weed to wheat. Scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. That's all he asks, is that you believe in him. John 1:12 says it this way, yet to all received him, speaking about Jesus, is that him? Yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. How about it? That's the inside scoop. How about it? Weed or wheat? How about it? Weeping or shine? Which will it be for you? There's the inside scoop. Let's bow our heads. How about it? Which will it be for you? Right now, God's presence is bearing witness with your presence. First of all, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your presence of whether or not you were really a child of God, or whether your weed that has surrounded itself with wheat. You might do the things that wheat do, sing praises to God, come to church, serve in the ministry, but you know, and the Spirit of God is bearing witness with your soul right now that you are still a weed, you're not wheat. Well, if that's true right now, you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. No one looking around, every head bowed. I won't embarrass anybody with this, I promise. But right now, you're here this morning and doing an honest evaluation of your life against the inside scoop that this parable has presented today. You're fearful, you're a weed, not wheat. But you want to become wheat today. No one's looking around. Would you just raise your hand so I can know whether that need is here or not? Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, for one who raised a hand today and others who may have needed to, right now, God wants to transform you from a weed to wheat. And all you need to do to be transformed is put your faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Would you do that right now? Would you pray a prayer that goes something like this? And this isn't any kind of incantation. There's nothing magical about it. I'm just going to make some words up that I used to trust Jesus one day, many years ago. And it went something like this. God, I'm a sinner. I admit it to you. I've not lived my life fully in obedience to what you have revealed as a righteous life. And so, God, I fully admit I need your forgiveness. And I get it. There's only one place to get that forgiveness. That's in my faith in Jesus. So right now, God, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is the only way. God, I fully confess with my mouth right now that without Jesus, eternally, I am helpless and I am hopeless. And God, search my heart right now. I do believe that he's your son, that he died on a cross, was buried on the third day, rose again. And I believe that he alone, because he was willing to die for sin, can forgive my sin. So Jesus, today, forgive my sin. Jesus, today, I receive you. I believe on your name. Today, Jesus, make me a child of God. Today, I believe on the name of the Son of God for eternal life. I hope that you made that decision today. Now, every head's bowed and every eye still closed. Maybe today you're wheat. But as we've got the inside scoop on this parable today, maybe you would say, Pastor, I've gotten a little too cozy with sin. Would you pray for me that I will get back on track, that I will do the right things? No one looking around, please. Every head bowed. Would you by the same side, say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Yes, I see your hand. Yes. Others, pray for me. Yes, I see your hand. It's okay. Yeah, 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 it's okay. Yeah. Hands going up. Yeah, yeah, I see your hand. Yeah. It's okay, yeah. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, a lot of hands going up. And thank you for your candidness. Not for me, but before God. See, God's got to know that your heart is tender. And so, Lord, I do pray for every one of these men and women who just raised their hand. God, you're speaking to them right now. And they may not be engaged in horrific sin, but God, sin is sin. It's all the same in your life, in your mind. God, I pray that right now, that they might turn, that they may understand it. For no other reason, it's because judgment is coming. And Lord, they don't want to arrive in your presence as one who's just merely passed through the flame, barely got there. Lord, help us now to make the changes in our life that we need to make so that we're back on track. And you've told us that if we'll just confess them to you, you'll forgive them. And so we're doing that right now. God, I pray for your extra presence to be on every man and woman who raise their hand. Lord, use us for your glory. Help us to fulfill our role in this world of sin, to be models of righteousness. Not judges, but those who just live the kind of life that cause others to reconsider the way they're living their life in view of your word and your commandments and your guidelines. Use us for your glory. Lord, bless the offering that we're about to receive. God, may we give because our hearts are tender towards you. And we want this message to get out through our community and the world. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.